Welcome, welcome, welcome to Who's That DJ TV. It is your boy JSG. We are back with another episode. And as you can see, we have a new guest with us today. I followed this wonderful lady for a good few years now. Sometimes I like to call her Auntie Jess. But yeah, no, she's good people. Yeah, been following this DJ for a while. So let's welcome into the show Jess Mavs. Jess, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Excited. Okay. How you doing? I know today's been one of those long days, and it's not helped by the traffic and what's going on outside. But how are you anyway?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm just recovering from a little cold that I've had for a couple of days.
Okay.
But I'm
Okay.
good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I think like yourself, recovering from a little bit of a cold or being under the weather. But we move, innit? We move. Can't let nothing slow us down. And just getting ready for the Christmas period. So I know it should be busy. Jess, so how we normally start the show is we get the DJ to obviously talk about who they are, what's their origin story, all that stuff. So yeah, why don't you run down who exactly is Jess Mavs? Yeah, man, tell me your origin story.
So I'm DJ Jess Mavs or Jess Mavs. I'm a London-based multi-genre DJ. How long have I been DJing for? I would say 6 years, but taking it serious, I would say 4 to 5 years that I've been a bit serious. I used to like do my own events. This was like before lockdown. So yeah, we did like I was part of like a collective called Lemonade Girls. We did parties in Camden, Shoreditch, and somewhere in King's Cross. I forgot what the venue's called, but yeah, that's all I can think of.
Okay, so how did you get into tell me how you got into like DJing, because obviously you're saying you've only been doing this 6 years, we'll say. But how did you actually get into DJing in the first place?
DJing was just for my like love of music. It just started as a little hobby. Just started playing around and just watching YouTube videos. Like I was enjoying this and I thought, you know what, maybe I can try out this DJing thing. And it's opened some doors for me, so yeah.
So in terms of like actual starting, what did you do? Just like watch YouTube and then like get yourself a controller, or was you learning on CDs and vinyls?
I just started on Virtual DJ. So I just downloaded Virtual DJ on my laptop. So at that time, I didn't even have a controller. So I was just playing around with Virtual DJ. So I don't have like, I didn't play on vinyls. Some DJs are like, I played on vinyls. I don't have that. But yeah, Virtual DJ. Started watching YouTube videos and just learning how to beat match. And then I got my first controller, which was a Pioneer. Was it SB2? Like your little beginner controller. And yeah, I just started playing around and then started posting stuff on like my Snapchat, or like I started posting on my Instagram. I'm self-taught. Like I literally just taught myself just watching videos and going to maybe like two lessons. And then I would go to like DJ workshops. At that time when I was starting, there was a Red Bull was running like a workshop for female DJs. Like it was like every Tuesday they will have like a female DJ do a little talk. Went there on my own after work. Literally knew no one like when I went in there. Sat down, just started talking to like random girls, Just taking like just sharing our socials and stuff like that, and that's where my DJ journey like sort of began like properly, you know, networking with other DJs and just putting myself out there and just sharing like my videos on Instagram.
Okay. So talk me through, obviously, talk me through like starting to get in, going from, so let me start again. Talk me through the process or your process and what happened with you from obviously just learning and messing around in your room and obviously going out to networking to actually going out and getting booked as a DJ.
So my process was actually I started putting out mixes. So once I started like listening back to my mixes before I actually released them on like SoundCloud and Mixcloud, I was just testing it out, and then I'll get my brother to like listen to it and be like, can you tell me, like, be honest, does this sound good? So I just started releasing like mixes, and from there I would like share my mixes on Instagram, because at that time I would say Instagram was like popping DJs. It was easy for us just to like share our stuff on there. I would say for now Instagram's not that great, but at that time it was good. So yeah, it was just putting my mixes out, and then the whole networking, sharing my mixes with other DJs, meeting up with other DJs, and just sharing music and just talking about like what it is that we want to do, like with this whole DJing thing. Because when I did go to these workshops, a lot of the girls there, they were like in the same position as me, so they were all starting out. So it was good to actually like meet people who was in the same position as me, and then just share like if it's something like, oh, like what can I say, like tricks, like just doing tricks, wordplay. Shout out DJ Pineapples actually, so she sort of like was like to me, you need to do like more wordplay and things like that. But and then I don't know sort of, and I just started getting myself out there. And when it came to like doing events, I sort of got together with two other female DJs, DJ Rhea Louise and DJ Pineapples. So I've met both of them at the Red Bull workshop. So then I knew both of them separately, so they didn't really know each other. So I would say I sort of brought them together. I don't know if they agree or disagree, I don't know. So from there, we sort of got together and we was like, oh, do you know what? Let's just create like a little group, like Lemonade Girls. There weren't really that many female collectives out there. And then as we got together, we was like, do you know what? Let's just send emails to like venues and stuff like that. And some venues got back to us, others didn't. And then we just started throwing our little events here and there.
Okay, so I think when I met you, I think it was probably through Pineapples, because of Pavlos. So yeah, I initially was following Pavlos, and then obviously started talking about Pineapples, and then she obviously at the time that she was promoting some event, and then was seeing obviously you and Rhea on the flyer as well. So that's I think how I first become aware of yourself, and then like just I'll give you a follow and see like what obviously what you guys are about, and started seeing some of the mixes you lot was throwing together, which was pretty tidy at the time. But before I go into that kind of journey, do you remember your first outside booking? Like, your first outside booking as just yourself?
Oh, so my first booking actually, it was a baby shower. So it was my brother's work colleague looking for like a last minute DJ, and the equipment that I had, it was shit. Can I
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah, go on.
Literally, like, I didn't have the great, my speakers weren't great. They were, what was the setup? It was, I keep forgetting. I don't even want to think about it. That's how bad it was.
Was it like a home stereo type of setup?
So, yeah, it was sort of like that. Like, just, you know, them wires, like, them old school wires that like you have to put it through the slot. Like you don't
Yeah.
add have like an XLR, like I didn't connect to
Yeah.
XLR or yeah, so that was like my little setup that I had.
Yeah.
So that was my first booking, it was a baby shower. To be honest, with that baby shower, I don't think I was just background music.
Okay. So you weren't like no, you weren't proper like thumping down the hall, you were just keeping a nice little background vibe
Literally,
while everyone was doing what they was doing, yeah.
yeah, for real.
Do you think you was, I mean, despite the equipment, was you fairly confident going into that, or it was just like, it is what it is type thing?
No, I was nervous, very nervous. Thank God I had my brother beside me. He's like, you got this, but I was like, yeah, but it's like it's my, I'm out there, like I don't know these people, you know, so I don't know what people are gonna say, my mixing and stuff like that. But towards the end, like everyone enjoyed themselves, they did a little dance like towards the end. But yeah, it turned out really great, so
Okay, cool. And then that's just obviously allowed you to go on to bigger and better things.
yeah.
Okay, so with the pineapple girl, not pineapple girls, lemonade girls. Sorry,
Yeah.
I keep doing this. With lemonade, where was your first event at? And do you remember like what the concept of it was?
Our first event was at Lochside Camden. It was called Bittersweet. Yeah, like I remember the flyer actually. The flyer was like, I'm gonna look on my phone right now. So the flyer was like pink and yellow. And I think it had, yeah, it had Aaliyah holding. So that's the, you know, the whole Lemonade thing. And at that time, Beyonce's album,
Oh,
Lemonade,
lemonade just
that's
dropped.
where we got our name from. So yeah, it was like a pink flyer with Aaliyah holding a lemon, and like we was promoting the hell out of this man, like Instagram, Facebook, family, friends. It was a very good turnout, honestly. Like, we had like even people who were just turning up, you know, didn't buy tickets, so they just bought tickets at the door. I had my friends come, my family. That's it. Oh, wow. Yeah.
There we go.
That's a little flyer. Yeah, that was like one of my the best nights ever, honestly.
Lovely.
Yeah, I had the last, I was the last set, I had the last set, sorry. So I had to get the party going, so it was, you know, it was good.
Okay. When you lot were having events and stuff, did you normally have like a set structure, or not necessarily a set structure, or did you like have an order in which you lot played, or did you lot have like specialist genres that you lot would stick to? Because I know Pineapples, for instance, I know she's like the R&B head, the old
Yeah.
school R&B head.
So usually we would take turns. So usually someone will do a warm-up set and then someone will do a middle set and then end set. So we'll sort of do like a rotation.
Right.
But I know Pineapple, she loved her warm-up sets, you know,
Okay. Yeah.
old school R&B and all that. But yeah, we did have like a little structure of like who's gonna play this and that, what genre, what songs to play during the hype session and stuff like that. So yeah.
Okay. Dope, dope, dope. And obviously, by the sounds of things, it sounds like you are, or the Shade of Lemonade thing isn't a thing anymore, or are you looking, is it something you're looking to bring back, or not sure?
No, I don't think we're gonna bring it back. I don't know, I just feel like since like lockdown, so we did before lockdown happened, actually, we were supposed to have an event at Bloomsbury Bowling Alley. And then when we found out like the whole COVID, and then we just had to cancel everything. But then after COVID, that conversation never really popped up amongst us. Do you know what? It would be nice if we did like a little comeback event, but for now, I don't think it looked like we're gonna be doing anything together.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. That's fine. So that kind of brings me on to a topic which we alluded to earlier, the whole COVID thing. So how did you navigate through it, and how did it you feel that COVID affected you DJ wise?
So DJ wise, actually, I was doing a lot of live streams during COVID. So my friend, Chris, who's a personal trainer, we did like a sort of, he did like a workout with a DJ sort of thing. So I'll be playing music and he'll be doing like his little like instructions, telling people you need to do this and that sort of thing, whilst I'm in the background like playing music. So then each week we would do a different genre. So we'd be doing like a soca, hip hop, R&B, Afrobeat, dancehall. It was really good, like proper good. Like I really enjoyed it. Like I got to experience his followers. So he had a like different fitness crowd in it. So they were just watching. And it was good for me to like just be creative as well with like my mixing and just playing around and stuff like that. So, do you know what? COVID allowed me to become very creative, honestly.
Yeah, so he was quite active. And was that on what platform was you lot streaming from?
On Instagram.
Oh, so you did you have issues with like the getting cut off and the streams
Oh,
dropping
yeah.
every
Definitely. You know, when you have to like write a comment about, oh, no copyright or whatever it is, and then pin the little comment. So we had to do that, but that didn't work. Our
Oh, of
video.
course not.
Yeah.
Of course not. Okay, that's good. I mean, like, it's good that obviously you kept yourself active throughout that period, because I know some DJs, obviously with all the clubs and all that stuff shutting down, a lot of DJs decided probably to just stop DJing and just do other things. So no, it's good that you've done that, because I think there are some DJs who prefer DJing to a live crowd. So the whole thought of DJing on like Twitch and stuff just isn't as appealing as it is for others. But you sound like you had a really fun time doing it, which is good, which was real good. And then obviously since coming out of COVID, actually, sorry, no, before I was coming out of COVID, do you feel that it affected you in any way, positive or negatively? And obviously you mentioned there it being help giving you the ability to like get really creative with mixing, etc. But in terms of like as a DJ, it didn't give you what was your thoughts, obviously coming getting ready to come back outside of it, or reflecting back at that time period?
During that period, I would say, do you know what, it had its good and bad moments. I would say the bad moments was just like I can't DJ to a crowd anymore, you know? I can't play the music that I want to play. And also it's like, okay, gotta do these live streams, which was a positive thing because then I gained new followers and stuff like that. So yeah, it had 50-50 positives and negatives, but it was an eye-opener, definitely.
Was you following like other DJs on like Twitch and stuff as well, or Was that kind of side of things not for you, per se?
Nah, Twitch is not for me. Do you know what? I'm supportive of the DJs that do it, but it's not for me.
It's not for
No.
you. Fair enough. Fair enough. Each to each their own, as the saying goes. Okay. Now, so obviously we're outside of COVID and the world is opening up again. So say that, say after COVID, obviously when clubs started opening back up and stuff, what was your view of the outside and clubs? When going, obviously stepping back outside, did you feel like it was just onwards and upwards is the same, or do you feel like some of the club owners were, I don't know, obviously like dropping their prices or doing, being cheap or whatever you want to, however you want to put it. What's your viewpoint? What was your viewpoint going back outside of when everything opened back up?
I would say going back outside, it was hard, because bookings for me didn't really start picking up. I felt like some venues, they sort of stuck with people that had like a regular event there, you know? So I guess for me, the only thing that saved me getting out there is Nike. Also, I forgot to mention I DJ at Nike in Oxford Street. So when the stores started opening up, and Nike opened up and they were like, you know what, we want the DJs to come back, that helped me a lot. Because I wasn't getting any club bookings at that time. I was just at Nike. I would say a couple of months in, during the like summer period, that's when I started getting more private bookings. Like I started doing like birthday parties and baby showers. But yeah, it was hard getting back out there again. Most definitely.
Okay. Actually, that as you mentioned Nike, help me understand, how do you get to DJ for Nike in their stores?
How do I get it? How do you get it? Or
How'd you get
just
it? Yeah, like talk me through the process. What do you need to do?
so the way I got it was basically one of my DJ friends was just like, Nike are looking for more female DJs because I think they renovated the women's floor, so they've changed it up and they were like, you know what, let's have more female DJs. So she put my name forward. I did like a little trial set. And then the manager, he enjoyed it and he was like, oh, do you want to be like a regular? And then, yeah, I've been there for like 4 years now. I feel like with Nike, if you want to DJ for like a brand or a store, you just have to know people. And it's the thing of, we basically have to put our friends, we have to put you forward. So if you come up to me and be like, oh, just like, then I have to be like, okay, I'll speak to managers and be like, okay, I've got, DJ that wants to, DJ for Nike. Can they come up and,
I
DJ
got
and
that performance stuff.
yeah, perform. So yeah, so a lot of people always ask me, how do I do it? I said, you just gotta it's hard. Like I don't know what to say, but it's just a whole networking and just and like if you're, if you're a good DJ and then your friend is just like, you know what, I'm put your name forward and just you, and then that's how it is, isn't it? So yeah.
Fair enough. It's the more you know, I suppose, isn't it? The more you know, the more you network, and in all that
Okay.
sense. So, I'm not gonna ask you how much they pay, but I will ask you, apart from obviously being able to DJ and like get your face in front of the people, because it is the Oxford Street branch, right?
Yeah, it is,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. So, do they, with being able to DJ for Nike, is there any other benefits outside of a salary, or is it just a salary?
Benefits, I would say, is like we get to do Nike events. Also we get like discount as well.
That's fine. Yeah, just more for obviously for people interested in learning or wanting to be able to teach it. Some people want to know what obviously what they get for doing that. So that's cool. So talk me through obviously what you're up to these days, because obviously I see you doing quite a few events now. If I'm correct, you finally got a decent set that you get to haul around and you get to drive about. So yeah, what is your bread and butter looking like these days?
So now for me, it's been like I've been getting a lot of private bookings. So I've been doing a couple of weddings, christenings, baby showers, networking events. I haven't done any club events in a very long time. It's been a while since I actually did a club event. But I'm enjoying the private booking life. I think it's the way forward. But then with the whole club, it's like just missing the whole getting a reaction from the crowd and stuff like that, you know.
You know what? I agree with you in that sense. I say I haven't personally done clubs in a little while, myself. But I think I prefer the private bookings as well. I think they're I'm not going to say that they're easier, but it's a different type of pace that you're and pressure that you're subjected to at private events that you don't have to deal with at a club event. But what's your favorite type of event to do?
Weddings.
Not weddings. Why weddings?
I feel like with weddings, it's like you can sort of build like a story like of your set of where like you can do like a warm-up set, like start with your R&B and then sort of work your way up, like just creating that build up, and once everyone's all ready to dance, and then it's like bam, that's when all things sort of. Am I making sense? I don't
Yeah, I know, and
know.
I know what you mean, but
Yes.
it's just like just building a crowd up with you, taking them on like a little bit of a journey musically, and then yeah, like you've got everyone from sitting around talking tables eating to all being on a dance floor having like the best time of their life or whatever. And
Literally.
obviously, with weddings, like that's the special day, so it means something. Do you know what I mean? It's not like a regular club night or like a regular bar work where most people they'll go and have a drink and then they may stay and dance or whatever. Where it's a wedding, like they've come there with the intention of this means something to me. So there's a bit of a specialness added to it. And if you see them dancing, you're like, yeah, you've done it, your job. And yeah, got them to obviously dance and do all the rest of it. So no, I get it, I get it. Okay. What was I gonna ask you? What was I going to? All right, so in terms of equipment, you have your own, right? You're not having to hire or doing anything.
No, I have like my own like two speakers and a controller, which I have. It's a Roland. I forgot what it is, but
Okay,
it's
so it's is it one
it's
of them big boy ones or is it just a small decent size?
a small decent size. I would say it's like a medium size controller. I used to have a SX3 Pioneer. That controller there.
No, you don't enjoy bringing that around with you.
No, that controller has caused me problems. I don't know, like it just, I don't know, I feel like there's a faulty with that controller, but I feel like Pioneer are not owning up. Am I trying to like, maybe I'm killing a deal, innit? Maybe one day I might work with Pioneer, but
No.
Honestly, Pioneer are not owning up about that controller because the videos that I've seen on YouTube of that particular controller, there's a faulty. I tried to give it to them. They were like, oh no, you need to change the cable. And I said, no, I've changed my cables so many times with that controller and it's still causing problems. Like mid-set, it will just cut out.
Oh yeah, I've heard like the power issue where
Yeah.
it's dropping off for no reason whatsoever. Yeah, I have heard and seen those things. With specifically the SX3, the 2 wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, the 3, I know I have seen people talking about, yeah, they're having issues with power randomly dropping out, and the rest of it. So again, keeping with the theme of gear and controllers, but obviously you started out on virtual DJ, you said earlier.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you are now a Serato user.
Yes, I am.
Do you go on, sorry.
No, I was just gonna say, and I'm not going back to virtual DJing.
You're not going back. Okay. Go on, explain why you're not going back for anyone who's unsure why.
I feel like virtual DJ, I don't know, maybe they've changed it now. But at that time when I downloaded it, there wasn't much, to play around with. I feel like their layout was very basic at that time. And I feel like Serato, I guess everyone was talking about Serato, so I thought, let me just jump on a bandwagon and just see what everyone's saying about it. And Serato has been the best for me. I've tried Rekordbox. So usually I do use Rekordbox if I'm playing on USBs. And I'm just like, transferring my music over and like putting them in like different crates and stuff like that. But I mainly play on Serato.
All right, so do me talk me through how now you would like go through from talk me through the process for you for getting music and getting it organized into Serato. Every DJ's process is slightly different, so I'll be interested to hear yours.
So do you mean like when I download like new music or
Yeah, exactly.
do you know what? Yeah, since I've been changing my crates, like I would say every year I'm changing my crates. But this time what I've done now with my crates, okay, so because I DJ at Nike, so I've got a lot of clean music. So I've separated my crates. So I've done like a hip hop folder and then I have clean dirty. Someone's probably gonna think, oh, this is long. But then within that clean and dirty, I've done different years. So then I'm like 90s, early 2000s, and then let's say from 2010 to like 2018 and then 2019 and then now. So that's how I've done it. So I've just done them in like different years. So I've done that for every genre apart from, I would say apart from house and like mainstream music. I feel like with house and mainstream, I just chuck them in my folder. But for like my Afrobeat tunes, R&B, I've like proper separated them like so it's easy for me. So especially when I'm at Nike. Cool, this is all the clean tunes that I've got. I'm aware because if it is, it's just easier for me to work around as well. So then whenever I do get like new music, I'll just like put them in their little crates and stuff like that. So
That's pretty similar structure to mine. It's pretty much genre. Then I've done it like almost for anything before 2010 is pretty much in decades, I'd say. So you've got my 90s music, then 2000s, and then probably the last 6, 5, 6 years I've done it by individual year. because like music is coming out way too fast for me to know what's when.
Tell me about.
All right, what are you using a particular record, or should I say, where are you getting your music from? Is it like a particular record pool, or is it all over the gaff?
So I usually get my music from Franchise Record Pool. I've tried there's another one. I've tried a couple of record pools, but I feel like Franchise has been the best for me. Because it's like for like American music, hip hop, R&B, 70s, 80s, they've got it all. Like they've got a very good catalog for like throwback music. I would say now as well, with like the whole Afrobeats, they've been like getting on trend, like having the latest Afrobeats on there. And then I have like a few emails from like record labels. I would drop like a little email on a Friday. Here's the new Heady One tune or whatever, like. So yeah, I have that as well, but it's mainly just Franchise that I download my music from.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. If there's anyone from a franchise record pool that wants to give me like some trial or some codes I can share, I'd appreciate
What do
it.
you?
Thanks. I'm in between like three or four at the moment. So I've got promo only, and there's another UK one where they like every week they send me stuff and I could just go to their pool and download. Digiwax, I'm still using Digiwax, and that's a lot of US stuff. And what's the other one? I have to look through my emails now. But yeah, Digiwax and promo only, too, and they send me stuff very regular.
Okay.
Fat Drop is another UK one.
Oh yeah, that's the one that I get as well. Fat
Yeah,
drop.
Fat Drop.
Yeah.
All Ears, which I think is they are all part of the Fat Drop, All Ears and promo only are all, I think, the same thing or the same. They're all tied together.
Yeah.
And then Riddim Stream for dancehall music. And there was another one which I can't find the name of at the moment.
You got for dancehall music? Because I need to write that down because I feel like some of these record pools don't have a lot of dancehall music.
Yeah, Riddim Stream is the name of the one.
Riddim Stream.
Yeah, Riddim Stream. I'll forward you an email so you can see what it's like, and then you can just go in there and sign up.
Thank you.
I think I was looking for. What was I was looking for a particular dancehall with him, like from the 90s, and that they were the only people that seemed to have it because they've got quite an extensive library of old and new rhythms that you can just go through and download. And Doing the Damage, which is like a UK garage. I think they do garage. But there's a yeah label with that as well. Yeah, so they're the main ones. All right, so looking at the time, is there any questions you have for me or any advice you can give to new DJs out there wanting to yeah get involved in the scene and learn about DJing, etc.
Okay. So my question for you is actually,
Oh.
what made you want to like start a podcast like?
Okay, well that's an easy one. So in 20 I'm going to say 2015, 2016, I was on radio. And one of the presenters came to me and basically wanted to learn how to DJ. That was a DJ by the name of DJ Caramel. Big up her every time. So she came to me, wanted to learn. So I would give her like weekly lessons, Learning how to beat match on CDJs as well as obviously in Serato. Got a DJ controller and all the rest of it. And then obviously it would take her to some of my bookings. Like at the time I was DJing in Cambridge University and some other bits and pieces, so I would like we'd travel over the country and I would like to get her to warm up for me or whatever, and then I would do the main set, and sometimes I'd give her like the last hour or whatever, and she went off and started to do her own thing. But obviously during that period she had a lot of questions for me, and my journey through the DJ scene isn't well, it's very, it's, how can I say this? My journey through the DJ scene has been, I've been very fortunate, but then I've relied a lot on relationships with other people that I've met. But she had a lot of questions for me. I didn't necessarily have the answers. So I started talking to my boy DJ K, and asking him questions, and then I decided one day, do you know what, rather than that she asked me a question, I go somewhere else and then feedback the answer to her or tell her what where to go or give her my best answer. The best thing I thought to do is if I reach out to DJs that are doing in as part of the DJ scene and culture out there doing their thing regular, would be to ask them questions and then be able to share that information so that the new upcoming DJs had a resource to go to. So rather than it just be my story and then learning from me directly and going the route that I took, which is very untraditional or very abstract, why don't learn from all the other DJs out there that are doing it on a regular basis? Because yeah, every DJ story is different, but you'll find commonalities, and sometimes the best information is just to ask other people as well. So I mean, your DJ journey where you talk about your talk, you started just networking and talking to people. A lot of people don't think to do that, or it's not in their wheelhouse to do that. So again, this is why we have these conversations, to just kind of open up open up the knowledge base and get people thinking, talking and thinking to each other about what to do next or how to go about doing certain things.
It out definitely. It's good.
Excuse me. What about what would be your advice to new people, newbies coming through?
My advice. So I always on my inbox, I always get like, oh, like what do I have to do? My advice is get that controller. Just watch YouTube videos. There's DJ lessons everywhere. A lot of DJs nowadays as well, just running their own workshops. And also just go to events and just network. Just network. Like I went on my own. I didn't know anyone. I literally just went there and I was just like, okay, Jess, you can do this. I'm shy, but I still done it. And also just put out like videos on like TikTok. I'll say Instagram, but I feel like Instagram's algorithm has changed a lot, but it works for some. Put out mixes, even if you feel like the mix is not that great. Someone else might like it. You never know. So yeah, just share your music, share your things with family, friends. Yeah, and just reach out to other DJs. I feel like some there is people that are scared to reach out to DJs, and we're not scary people, honestly. Like, just come up to us. If you need help with anything, I'm like I don't mind teaching as well. I would love to get into teaching, actually. So yeah, just do you. Don't be afraid to like experiment with different music. But yeah.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. That is advice from the one they call Jess Mavs. So, this is it's a it's to be honest with you, what you said is very similar to what other DJs have said. But it is important that you network, even if you're not, even if you're not into clubbing or the club life per se. You can still go to a club just to hear what's being played and then, have a conversation with the DJ after they finish their set. Most of us are pretty cool, as you mentioned, after the set. I mean, if you really, really want to be nice to us, you can like just buy us a, like a drink or something, ask if we want a
True,
drink.
even food as well.
Yeah, well, like we'll take it all day long. If DJs, if you see Jess Mavs in Nike, just ask her. She wants some, I don't know what's your favorite dish, but bring it to you.
Anything.
Yeah, and bring some cookies, some bottle of water, something.
Crisp, popcorn,
Yeah,
anything.
and that's it. Because I can imagine, like, then when you're standing in the same spot, it can some of your days can be quite long.
Yeah. It is.
Cool. Actually, I have one more question before we move on to the next part. And I'm going to give you a little bit of context as to read the reason why I'm asking this question. So the reason behind this question is essentially when everybody came out of COVID, etc., right? What I noticed per se is a lot of the bars and the restaurants sort of thing were trying to go with like their pre-COVID rates, etc. Or some of them like the rates that they had before COVID and then after COVID have obviously, I think some of them have dropped quite a bit. So be interested to get your perspective on the following question. And you don't have to answer, but
Oh, you're scaring me.
no, it's a question revolving around money because this is a subject that some DJs don't like talking about or some people just don't like talking about per se. So what is the best way to ask it is this: is there like a minimum fee or something that would that say somebody wasn't able to meet their minimum fee, like it's a booking that you'd automatically decline, or is there, or you the type of person who will kind of work with a person's budget and say yeah or no? What are your thoughts on this whole money thing?
In terms of, oh, you know what? Yeah.
Go for it.
So, do you know what? I forgot to mention, I actually was DJing at Shisha Land in Walthamstow, and the fee, because it was like COVID and like it's done and stuff like that, the fee was so low. But I thought, do you know what? Let me just take it. But I think now, if the fee's not matching, I'm not gonna take it, honestly, because I feel like you've got to respect the DJ as well and the cost of living, and the hours that you've got are standing for.
Yeah.
Venues actually take the piss. Yeah, I feel like if we can have a discussion and we can come to an agreement with the fee, cool. But if it's a fee that's so low, I'm not gonna take it, honestly.
Okay. Are you prepared to step out and like say a number, or you just prefer to just leave it and say whatever conversation we have, well then that will.
What do you mean, like,
All right, so let's say Venue X is coming to you and saying, hey, we require like an evening DJ and our budget is like £80, for instance.
per hour?
No, for the night.
No. not. I'm not.
That's a flat out no, yeah.
That's a flower. Now, and you know some of these venues here, like I said, the time that they will take with how long they want you to DJ for, and then you're saying £80.
Well, let's say they say you can get like one free meal and like all your soft drinks free for the evening.
No.
Okay, that's fair enough. Like, end of the day, like, would it be closer to I'll give you a range because I don't want to give you a specific fee. But all right, we'll say between 150 to 250. Is that more?
Do you know what? 250.
Yeah. Oh, you're just going straight to 250. Just not between nothing. Just, yeah,
What?
250.
So, like, ever since I've started DJing, like when I first started, I was doing a lot of free gigs.
Yeah. As we've all done. We've all
Yeah.
done free or below par gigs and all the rest of it. So yeah, I get it.
For like what, DJing for 5 hours for like £100 or one whatever. Like I've been through that struggle and then I've worked my way up, and then for you to come up to me and be like £80. Nah. We ain't doing that, please. It's just, I feel like it's the hours that they give as well. They literally take the piss for the hours, and you're not offering me a drink. I've been to a lot of venues and they don't offer me a drink, not so.
Get
Yeah.
I get you, I get you, I get you. That's absolutely fine. Okay. So, all right, so let's keep the conversation pushing because I'm conscious of your time and the time. All right, so I'm going to give you three scenarios. And then for each of those scenarios, you have to pick a track for each of those ones, yeah? All right, so because you're a fan of weddings, let's start with that. So the scenario is you're at a wedding, they've just finished the first dance. Or like the first set of dances where like the bride and groom dance, and then they have some weddings have the parents dance of the bride and groom, etc. So that part's all out the way. The chairs are cleared, the dance floor is open. What is your first track to try and get everyone on the dance floor?
I will take it back to it'll be a hip hop track.
Bolt.
Do you know what? Montel Jordan, This Is How We Do It.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like once you hear that, this is how we do. I feel like, yeah,
Yeah.
everyone dance floor, yeah.
So, fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. Bold, but a good choice. I like it. I like it. I like it. Okay. So scenario number two. Christening. So you've got a mix of ages, kids and adults. Yeah. And say the christening finishes at 11 and it's 10 o'clock. So you're kind of getting towards like, or you're in the middle of a hype set. Or I say hype set, you know what I mean by that, right? Okay, so what do you think would be like your last tune of the hype set before you slowed it down?
That's a hard one. Last tune of a hype set. Do you know what? Probably a Sake tune. Yeah, everyone loves the Shaggy. I'm not even pronouncing the name properly.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, he's got so many tunes. Probably Joa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's, yeah, I probably might end with that actually before I throw it down.
Okay. All right. So, all right. Before I ask to give you the last scenario, what genre of music do you normally? All right. So everyone that is an open format DJ normally has a default genre, not a default genre, but like a genre that they're the most comfortable with. What's your most comfortable with? So before I can give you this last scenario, what would you say your most comfortable genre is?
This one's a hard one. You know what? I'm gonna say old school hip hop and R&B.
Okay.
I was gonna say Afro beats, but yeah, I'm gonna stick with old school hip hop and R&B. So
Okay.
like 90s to early 2000s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Let me think now. Why that over Afrobeats? Just out of interest.
I feel like, so Afrobeats, do you know what? It's very hard because with Afrobeats, it's like when you play certain tunes, like let's say like old school Afrobeats, when I play at some of these private bookings, I don't really get that reaction. When old school Afrobeats is like the best, and it's like they want to hear the newer stuff. And I'm like, wait, the party's still going. Like, yeah. So then it's like everyone's like, yeah, I like Afrobeats. But then it's like when you're paying like the old Wizkid, the old Burna Boy,
Everyone wants the new.
then they want the new. Like they're not respecting the old stuff, before the Ashakes. The Alamide and all them. So it's like, so yeah, that's why I'm gonna stick with the hip hop and R&B for,
Okay.
yeah.
With that, do you think is that down to age range of people, or is that more just the times we're in, per se?
I would say it's the age and the time that we're in.
No, you think it's a bit of both?
Yeah, it's a bit of both because it's like every day there's new music coming out. And it's like you don't have time to like a tune that you wanted to play. And it's like, no, everyone wants the new sort of thing.
Okay. I do like some of the old school Afrobeats, I'm not gonna lie. Like Wizkid's Tease Me is a tune that automatically springs to mind. And Don't Dull as well. Like, yeah. I started bringing it back out recently, but anyway. So my last what do you call it? Last scenario. So since we're going with old school hip hop and R&B, we're doing a sing-along segment. So you've got to that part in the night where you're doing a sing-along segment, guys and girls. So out of what kind of hip hop, get words out. What if you was a you've got to pick one song each for the guys and the girls to sing along to. What would those tunes be? What was like your favorite sing along or your default sing along tune to?
For girls, probably TLC, No Scrubs. And then for the mandem, in my head I've got Dr. Dre, but then I'm like,
Which one though? Which one?
But then I was gonna go towards Biggie.
Can't go wrong with either, to be fair, but
Do you know what? I'm just gonna go with Biggie, Juicy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I like that one. I like that. It's nice and safe. Okay. Well, I say we're not that we've got a time, but I'm gonna say we've kind of got to the end of it now. So is there anything from yourself that you wanna ask, say, before we get ready to wrap up from you?
I
No.
don't know. I was just gonna say, like, do you know what? With DJing, I think I'm at a, I was at a point where I sort of was gonna give up with DJing.
Oh.
But I was like, should I take a break? But then something like speaking to other DJs, it sort of made me think like, nah, let me not take a break, because I feel like if I did take that break, I wouldn't probably go back to it ever again. So I feel like at time there's gonna be moments where you are gonna feel like, oh, why am I not getting this booking, or why am I not out there? This DJ is doing more than me or whatever. I feel like your time will come. Like, whoever's feeling like, oh yeah, like it's not working out for me, your time will eventually come. It's just that you just gotta keep putting out the content, just keep sharing your stuff, and eventually that one booking, will like make you blow. Like, so yeah, don't give up. Like, I was about to give up, but I'm falling back in love with DJing again now. So it's like the bookings that I'm picking up, and just the reactions that I'm getting from my clients, and just the lovely comments and stuff like that. Like, it's helped me a lot. So yeah, don't give up. Like, whoever's watching this, don't give up. Just keep going.
Do you know what? I hear you. I hear you. So I'm gonna add to that a little bit as well. So obviously, if you're new to DJing, and you're trying to get yourself out there, and you don't feel like you're getting some traction, 100%, keep going. If that's your passion and that's what you're passionate about, keep moving forward. Keep putting out content. Even if you're doing like Twitch live streams and you're just getting one person, you never know who that one person is or who they're watching you. So definitely keep pushing. I will say though, however, to a point you raised earlier on is, when you're quite deep in the game, it is okay to take breaks. It is definitely okay to take breaks. Like I've taken a 3 month break where I've not had any bookings. And that was probably one of the best times for me, because when I jumped back into it, I felt refreshed. I didn't feel like I was playing the same old set that I had been playing. Like, when you're doing something constantly on a weekly basis, you fall into patterns where you're like, you end up repeating a set, or you start to become very predictable with your selections. So yeah, if you're not on top of your what do you call it, if you're not on top of your song selection or the new music, then yeah, take breaks if you need to. DJing is a long, in terms of the amount of hours that you end up doing, it can be very lonely, especially when you're not just staying in London, like you're traveling all over the country when you get to that point. So yeah, it's definitely good to take breaks. Because yeah, this industry is not easy. It's definitely very hard.
Yeah, I agree. It is hard, especially as a woman as well. Oh, but I stand my ground,
Oh yeah, I see you. I see you. I see you. So yeah. All right. So as we wrap up, where can people find you? Where can people see you? Let people know your socials are the best places to see what Jess is up to these days.
So I'm on Instagram, Jess Mavs. So it's Jess and then MAVZ on TikTok as well. And then on my Mixcloud, I've got a few mixes on there. I barely use SoundCloud, but there is some mixes on there as well. So it's all Jess Mavs on all socials. I really want to start YouTube actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I want to start doing YouTube, but I need to plan it out. But yeah, I'm just on TikTok and Instagram for now.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna f reverberate back your advice, and say go for it.
Yeah.
If you're about that YouTube life, then go for it. Is a lot of DJs I see are doing YouTube and doing very well with YouTube as well. Getting a good amount of subscribers and all the rest of it. So yeah, definitely go ahead and do that and let me know when you're on, and then I can tag you as being one of the people in this video as well once you are up and running. All right. So now for my what do you call it? My Twitchers, thank you for being here. Thank you for enjoying. Make sure you follow Who's That DJ TV on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. Make sure you like, leave a comment under the video, and make sure you're subscribed because there's going to be loads of DJs coming up soon. Yeah, man, I hope you guys have enjoyed the content. Yeah, give us a follow on Insta because I'm going to try and post some more stuff on there. It is all me that's posting on there. It's nobody else. So if you want to reach out to me, you could do that also on either of those social platforms, all right? Or myself at JSG the DJ, okay? So yeah, man, guys, thanks a lot. And I will catch you on next time. Peace.
Bye.